Best. Thank you. Racism is the seventh theme I want to talk to you about. Racism is an invention of the imperialist West in the modern period. It didn't even exist in Western culture until the beginnings of the slave trade in the late 1500s. Now, historians can verify this. There's lots and lots of books on the history of slavery and the origins of racism. But there's a story that someone once told me that illustrates it, helps one remember this. In about the year 1600, William Shakespeare, famous English author, wrote the play Othello. And I'm sure that some of you have read Othello or perhaps seen a film version of it, and that all of you will have heard of it. Othello, subtitled The Moor of Venice, Moor meaning African. Now, the slave trade had just started in Great Britain in a very small way in the 1580s with the famous buccaneer Sir Humphrey Davies and his ship the Golden Hind starting the slave trade to the Americas in a very small way. It was not a major issue in the year 1600. And if you'll recall the plot of Othello. Othello is an African, a black man, he has many references to his color in the play, who is the general in command of a legion of Italian troops, an Italian garrison in a fort. Nobody in the play remarks that this should be anything unusual about this, the idea that an African, a black man, would command white troops was simply not regarded as something that was extraordinary from the point of view of the fact of his color. As we come to see in the play, there is something extraordinary about Othello. He's a self-made man. That is to say, he does not come from noble stock. His ancestors were not African nobility. He has risen from low origins to his present position of command. And by virtue of the fact that he's a general, this, in medieval and Renaissance terms, puts him among the ranks of the nobility. So here he is, a member of the nobility, in effect, in rank, but without noble ancestry. He marries Desdemona. Desdemona is an Italian woman of noble ancestry, and her parents are not happy about this. And it is true that they make a few remarks about his color being strange and not being attractive. And it is true that in Renaissance England in the 1600s, noble women and in general the nobles were admired for having very fair skin, particularly women. Othello is not a woman, of course. So there aren't many remarks by Desdemona's parents as to his color. Their main concern, now get this, their main concern is that he's not of noble ancestry. He's not a gentleman born. And they are of noble ancestry. They are aristocrats, not by virtue of anything that they've done, not by virtue of any achievements. But that, of course, was regarded as a sort of being an upstart. They're aristocrats by nature, by birth. And so they are unhappy that their daughter Desdemona has married such a fellow. The clear implication is that had Othello been of noble African ancestry, noble North African ancestry, no doubt, Moor usually means somebody from North Africa, that they would have had few, if any, objections to their daughters marrying him. Now, this kind of plot would simply be unthinkable any time since 1600, and particularly in the last 100, 200 years, would simply have been unimaginable to write a play like this. That is to say, racism was so weak in Shakespeare's day that the main objection to Othello's marriage on the part of Desdemona's parents was not that he was black, but that he was not of noble parents. That would not be the objection in any kind of credible way today or within the last several hundred years. So it's a very good illustration, not that Shakespeare was not a racist, but that Shakespeare wrote for an audience which did not respond to racial stereotypes, to racial ways of thinking. In fact, the only character in the play Othello who constantly makes negative references to Othello in every way, including the color of his skin, is Iago. And Iago is, on the one hand, Othello's right-hand man, on the other hand, the great villain of the piece, that is to say, the person who personifies evil and betrayal, and in that sense kind of plays a Judas Iscariot sort of figure to Othello, the heroic man with the tragic flaw. In Renaissance drama, a person had to be a noble in order to be involved in a tragedy. So Shakespeare, in writing a tragedy about Othello, by that very fact, shows that he considered him to be very acceptably a noble figure. This would simply have been unthinkable in the centuries that ensued and today. So it should show us that racism has very recent origins, and it should also help us to understand what those origins are. The New World, the Americas, were colonized by various ruling classes of European societies, mainly as sources of cheap land, like very extensive land on which cultivation could take place. Cheap labor was necessary to cultivate the land, and as we know, in what later became the United States, cheap labor at first was indentured servants who could be Africans or Europeans, poor populations from Europe. In fact, they were all called slaves until the 1670s or 1680s, and there could be white slaves, there were also black slaves. As a result of some multiracial rebellions, particularly Bacon's Rebellion in 1672 in Virginia, where black slaves or indentured servants and white slaves or indentured servants rebelled together, the Virginia House of Burgesses, that is to say the Parliament made up of the wealthy planters, began to make laws that encouraged the immigration of poor whites and therefore made their status somewhat less painful than that of blacks. They said that blacks, Africans, would be enslaved for life and their children, whereas whites could only be enslaved or indentured for a period of years. And the purpose here was to guarantee that there was a buffer of poor whites who were not as ground down as the poor blacks, though they were plenty ground down, plenty exploited, but a buffer between the wealthy whites and the black slaves. And so the racial code was established. It had not existed before. The laws were created to prevent blacks and whites intermarrying, which of course showed that they were intermarrying. Blacks and whites socializing in any way, which of course showed that the lower classes, the working classes, the peasants of blacks and whites did associate with each other, and this was outlawed. There are some excellent books about this. Theodore Allen has written two very well-researched books on this question of the origins of racial slavery, and I have some web pages on this, which I'm going to assign probably to your class, shorter articles that summarize the same issues, because it's an important one. Now, in the modern period of imperialism, which the period that we're concerned with from the late 19th century on, really concerns the conquest by Europeans who now label themselves as whites, right, which is not done before the Renaissance. There was no concentration of color, therefore there were no white and no black. So it concerns the conquest by the imperialist societies, who now regard themselves as white people, of non-whites, whether it be in Africa, where of course there are many ethnic groups, there isn't just one ethnic group, but none of them are white in European sense, or Asia, or the Near East, or India, Latin America, it doesn't really make any difference. The only people who are considered to be whites by Europeans in this racially categorized idea are Europeans. So when modern imperialism gets underway, the notion of racism is well established and is a major part of Western culture, a major prejudice, and this is new. Among all of the cultural shocks that strike the populations of the countries that are being conquered by the imperialists, the European penchant, or American penchant for racism, is one of the most shocking. Now, this doesn't mean that there was no kind of discrimination at all in the traditional societies which the imperialists conquered. And we see evidence of this in some of the novels we read. The kinds of discrimination that existed in the traditional pre-colonial societies include class divisions, caste divisions, sexism, that is discrimination against women, hostility among different ethnic groups, linguistic groups, political groupings, warfare and competition of various kinds, but not racism, not the viewing of other peoples as inherently inferior simply and solely because of the culture of their skin. There's nothing like that existed in pre-colonial societies outside of the West, and for that matter, nothing like that existed in the West until the discovery of the Americas and the beginning of the modern period of imperialism, until the beginning of the slave trade as a way of gaining a cheap labor force for the new vast plantations of the New World, and racism justified, or was an attempt, among other things, to justify the enslavement of other human beings. That is to say, before you exploit, before you brutalize, before you kill or do something horrible to another group of human beings, you have to have some kind of justification for doing it. And the justification offered by racism was that these people are just not human beings like you and me. As an American general said during the Vietnam War about the Vietnamese, life is cheap over there. Whenever a Western political or military figure says something like life is cheap over there, what we should understand, we should understand that what they mean is, we're going to kill a lot of them, and we don't want you to worry about it, because they're not really human beings. That's what's meant. And that's what was meant, of course, in the age of classical imperialism. This racism becomes more proof, if more proof were needed, that Western culture was truly barbaric. That is to say, the colonized people, the victims of imperialism, already horrified by the brutality of Western military and political assault, are even more firmly convinced of this by the by racial discrimination, which to them is completely new. And by the way, it's mainly the elite among the colonized people who are negatively impacted by the racism of the Western imperialists, because it's mainly the elites who come into contact frequently with Westerners, with the colonialists, with the imperialist administration. They're the ones who have to fight them or come into contact with them, mediate with them. The average person doesn't see them very much. So it's the racism of Western society has a tremendous impact primarily among the elite, and it's from among the elite that we get our writers. Thank you.